to the Totally Scottish Football Show. I'm Andrew Slaven, and if you boo me, you're booing James Richardson too. Yes, the winter break is over, the Premiership returns on Wednesday, and we warmed up with some Scottish Cup action this weekend. If you're a fan of East Fife or Stenhouse Muir, you're still dreaming of a big day at Hampden. But it's all about Auchinleck. They might be juniors, but Talbot are on their way to Tynecastle. We'll be speaking to Auchinleck forward Mark Shankland later on the podcast. Plus, St Johnstone legend Liam Craig will be giving us the secret of their success. The transfer window is still ajar. Greg Stewart swaps the Killy Pie for a buttery, but is GMS off to the Big Apple? Mmm, yum. Alongside me in the studio from The Telegraph, a man who loves his butteries buttery, it's JJ Bull.
Hello. They're also called rowies. It's a point of contention amongst people from Aberdeenshire. I used to work in a bakery, and once someone asked me for a buttered roll, and I thought they just meant like a softie with butter.
Did they look at you like,
aye,
what?
And I put butter in a softie, and I gave it to them, and he just stared at me like, what the hell are you doing?
What did you say? You put butter on a softie?
Yeah.
Wait, what is a buttery roll if it's not a roll in butter?
You meant a buttery? I know.
Okay, I would have done the same as him.
Have you not had a buttery either?
No.
Oh, wow. Or a rowie. Well, that's Copper 90s Laura Brannan. You love a bit of USA as well as a GMS sandwich, don't you?
I would take a GMS and a sandwich any day. Does that mean I get two of them? Does that mean I get one on either side? I'm stuck in the middle.
I don't know.
I mean, we're really putting some strange imagery into the start of this podcast.
I was just thinking more BLT, GMS, but there you go. Rumours that he might be off to New York City, but Jack Harper scored a late winner for Malaga on Saturday. He's fourth of the season. It's quite good for Scots abroad.
That's right. If anyone doesn't know who this boy is, he's a young lad who grew up in Spain, who came through the ranks of
Real Madrid.
Real Madrid, that was right. He played in this Castilla, I think, rather than B.
Yeah.
And he scored quite a few goals. He's a forward, so he can play off the striker. I think he's a bit of a 10. And there was outcry when he wasn't involved in Scotland junior squads because he's not meant to be a big lad.
Why has he not done anything yet, though? He's 22 years old.
He got a move to Brighton, didn't he? And he never really made an impact there.
That's
but now
he's never really had a run of games over a course of one season. He might have had injury problems. I'm not sure. But if he's not, I look at his stats and I go, right, well, he's not been playing for the Scotland under-21s. He skipped that level. He's not been
talked about. Yeah, Ricky Spriga didn't want him because he wanted robust industrial players rather than anyone with technical skill. So I don't think that's his fault.
I'm not sold on him yet.
He was playing for Castilla. This is the Real Madrid C team, but I don't think he's played for Brighton, and he's not been on loan anywhere smaller, has he?
No, but you know, it's the typical tagline of if you're involved at Real Madrid and you're working with these players, that a lot of people will jump on the bandwagon.
It seems to be if you have had experience abroad, you're suddenly good, and it doesn't necessarily go hand in hand. And this is maybe why I'm a bit more sceptical as well about likes of Ryan Gold. He's also 23 now. That's a rough guess. He's roughly the same age. Mm-hmm. He still hasn't done it yet. People kind of come back and go, oh, but he's learning in Portugal. He's bringing
at the same point, Ryan Gold did impress a lot of people on the domestic stage when he was at Dundee United. And that's how he got his big move to Sporting Lisbon. He's just been unlucky, I think.
But if he'd carried on doing exactly what he'd been doing at Dundee United as, a 17, 18-year-old, I think he could have been a first-team regular for Scotland right now.
Yeah,
as much as I like to see our players going out abroad and getting experience, I'm all for it. It doesn't necessarily mean you're automatically one of our best players.
No, but it means that you can learn a different style of football and have more of a technical upbringing. So the Scottish game is very insular, and it's very, like, you look, especially the English Premiership, when a lot of foreign players came in and then made it the way it is now, it's very continental style, and they struggled in Europe for ages because the English players just couldn't do it. I did a piece, quite an extensive bit of research with Telegraph this week, on Callum Hudson-Odoi, Chelsea boy. Mm-hmm. And what I found was that players who are of an elite level tend to be starting games for their club at 19. So they're playing the Champions League, they're in the first team, always there. By the time they're 19, they've usually played about 50 league games. Mm-hmm. So it could be at first team level, it could be at maybe a B level. Ryan Gold went to Sporting. He's played 42 games for Dundee United before he left them, and he's played 73 games for Sporting B, which is, you know, a lower level. But then he went to Aves, played 18 games, and Frenzy's 11 games. He's played a lot in the level he seems to have been at the whole entire time was Hibs's level. But then when you've got Jack Harper, he's played for Malaga B 50 times, and he's 22, and he's played 15 times for Malaga this season. Like, he's on track. He's really delayed. He's about 4 years behind his development. no one's saying he's going to be a superstar.
Don't forget Liam Henderson as well, who's in Serie B with Hellas Verona.
Yes, so, never forget about...
Yeah. This is the thing, I'm completely all for that. I get what you're saying, and I completely agree. It's great for their development. I just don't like the attitude of, oh, he's at Real Madrid or such and such, and suddenly it's, we should be considering
that's
him.
That's exactly what Ricky Spriggy said.
I think that's a fair point, though. Like, just let them develop their football as and when they do it, and if they go abroad, that's good news, but let's not jump on the bandwagon. I think that's fair. Just let them do their football, let them
prove themselves. Ollie Burke, everyone talked him up. Let's see what he does at Celtic. Let's see what Ryan Gold does at Hibs. He set up a goal at the weekend. Great, let's hope he comes and proves a point.
Well, on the podcast today, we're not going to dwell on the weekend. We're actually going to look ahead to the midweek fixtures. And there's no doubt about the game that's got everyone talking. The headline fixture on Wednesday night, it's third versus second as Kilmarnock take on Rangers. We're joined now by Sandy Armour, editor of the Killy Hippo fanzine. Sandy, we're excited for this game because it's a top-of-the-table clash. But there's the whole Jordan Jones debacle as well. He's joining Rangers in the summer, but he's still a Killy player. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I suppose it's just it's all happened since the Bosman days. I suppose it's disappointing, and it creates a very unusual sort of uncomfortable situation, if you like, for the player and the club in terms of Kilmarnock. But it's just something you've got to live with. In the case of Jones, I think Kilmarnock had offered them about maybe four new improved contracts since the summer, and he'd turned them down, so it was no surprise whatsoever that he was moving on. But as luck would have it, he's moved to one of the teams next to the top of the table, and that's the first game back after the winter break. So yeah, it makes it for a very interesting Wednesday evening, and I'm sure it'll be add an extra edge to the game when it's played.
Steve Clark said to fans last week that if you boo Jones, you boo me too. And Kilmarnock beat Forfar 2-0 in the Scottish Cup on Saturday. Did he get booed?
Yeah. Very, very little. I mean, there was some. I think what you saw there was the manager doing. I think Alex Ferguson was probably famous for doing it back in his heyday. He was, publicly very much protecting his players. What's said in private, I'm sure, is a totally different thing. I think Steve Clark probably that Jordan Jones a new one in the dressing room, but in public, protecting his players and trying to trying to get the fans on side, if you like. I don't think the club handled it particularly well. I think there should have been a public apology from the player after his comments on Twitter, following he signed the contract for Rangers. I think it was very disrespectful to Kilmarnock. However, it's done and dusted now, and as they say, there's no player bigger than the club. So we move on, and every confidence in the manager will be able to replace Jordan Jones when he does eventually move on.
Speaking of that, I mean, how do you feel about Kilmarnock having lost Greg Stewart as well, recalled by Birmingham and now straight up to Aberdeen? Steve Clark said it has a strange smell about it. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I would totally agree with him there. And to be perfectly honest, Greg Stewart's is a far bigger loss than Jordan Jones, I think. And the influence he's had throughout, since he joined us in the summer on loan from Birmingham, he's been absolutely outstanding, Greg Stewart. He was on loan at Aberdeen last season, I think.
He was poor last
McInnes
season.
Was playing him more in a sort of wide role and didn't seem to get the best out of him. He's came to Kilmarnock this season and he's just played in this sort of a free sort of number 10 role, if you like. He's been scoring goals, he's been assisting. His ability on the ball, his touch is excellent. So he's been outstanding for Kilmarnock. So yes, he really is a big loss. I think even before he came, the manager was getting the best out of players that have been here a while. And, the man management is tremendous. So I've no doubt, again, that Steve Clark will find somebody to replace Greg Stewart and hopefully keep up the great run of form we've been on.
Is the solution then to bring someone in, do you think, during the window? Is that because Stewart's scored or assisted 14 goals so far, so obviously that's massive.
Yeah,
I think only Alfredo Morelos has been involved in more. Stewart was in the Scottish Premiership last season, so Clark knew he could work, but I don't know. Do you think it could really impact the team? They have to get someone in, right, or it's going to really impact what's happening just now?
Yeah, I think he will be looking to get somebody in. I think, obviously, Kilmarnock's financial situation is totally different from the big clubs round about us. However, there have been wages freed up. We've lost Greg Stewart. We lost Eno Bakari, the lad we had up from Wolves. We lost the boy Byrne, that was the midfielder. So there has been wages freed up, and I'm pretty certain that you'll likely see a couple of faces anyway coming in to Kilmarnock before the window, I would think. One to replace Greg Stewart, and I think we're maybe one short in the centre back area. When we've got Broadfoot injured just now, then it's just Scott Boyd comes in for cover. So yeah, I think we'll maybe see another centre back and somebody from Stewart. And
just to add to the drama that's involving Kilmarnock and Rangers at the moment, do you think Jordan Jones will play against Rangers when they're back in the Premiership? And you've obviously got them in the last 16 now as well, if Rangers beat Cowdenbeath.
That's great, this is one of the situations the Premier League throws up with a split. If things turn out, and if Rangers do beat Cowdenbeath, that would be six times at least we'll be playing them this season. Obviously there's a chance of a replay, I suppose, in the cup game, could be seven. So in fact, we played them in the League Cup earlier in the season as well, so it's too much familiarity. In terms of Jones on Wednesday, my personal feeling is he won't play him. Actually, I think it does cause a situation where it might be awkward for the player himself, and there's obviously going to be questions from Kilmarnock fans about his commitment, etc. As I say, it's just the situation that arises with these pre-contract agreements these days. So my personal opinion is I don't think he'll start the game. What Steve Clarke does, he's forgotten far more than I ever know about football, so we'll trust his judgement. But yeah, that would be my personal opinion.
Sandy, what's happening with the Kelly Hippo these days? I'm hearing you're not too far away from your 200th edition.
I know. I think we'll need to put you to bed.
That's a good thing. That's a really good thing.
We started it in 2000. The story was I was just going to get my first computer at that stage, and I really wanted to do something to justify having a computer. I remember at the time, I think Motherwell had four fanzines or something at the time, and Kilmarnock this time had none. The fanzines that we had sort of stopped, and the previous fanzine was called Kelly Ken, and I did a wee bit of help with the guy that did that, just with distribution and the likes. So I thought, I'll give it a bash, because I'd never done anything like this in my life, to be perfectly honest with you. So I just started it, and it took off, and it's a bit of a labour of love, but you get into a habit of doing it, and I enjoy doing it. So yeah, we'll keep going as long as we can, and as long as the fans are sending us articles and the likes.
One big question now, grilling you: why a hippo?
It's because of my physical attributes. There's a massive the water horse.
Rangers Cup game against Cowdenbeath was postponed due to a frozen pitch. Have you seen the pitch? You see the build up to the game that got postponed?
They don't do football like they used to in all days, do they? I remember in my day they'd have been playing that with axes.
What was your day?
The pitch looked not great, but I've played on far worse than that.
What was it? So like Premier Sports were doing it, weren't they? And I saw in the build up to it, what they tried to put a car over the corner.
Did you see though the car drove over the actual frozen bit, and then the exhaust, which is, I assume is meant to be the bit defrosting it, was way at the back, and you're like going to move forward a bit. If you rolled forward, we might have actually had a defrosted pitch.
I like that though, thinking outside the box. At least they're doing something.
There's another way.
Also, they must have known to drive it in a shot at that exact time. You could have been on the other side of the pitch.
To be fair, I bet you the cameras would have been like, not yet mate, not yet. And go.
Why didn't no one come out with a kettle?
Well, you don't want to make it soggy.
Oh, so you'd rather have a no game than a soggy corner.
Excuse me?
I would like the idea of someone spending an entire 8 hours running backward and forward with one tiny kettle trying to defrost the whole thing.
8 hours? Did you see how small this patch of ice was?
Ben, get the kettle!
Rangers' next game's Killy, obviously. Jermaine Defoe.
Do you think he'll start? So they played... Rangers played... some Finnish team and a friendly Helsinki.
Some Finnish team. It's a great tradition of history in Finnish football. How dare you?
Absolutely. Alfredo Morelos will know about that as well, won't he? Because he came from there. But Gerrard started with Defoe and Morelos up front together. Do you think that'll be a familiar?
I didn't see the game, but I heard from one of my friends who's a Rangers fan that Morelos just was not one bit amused about having a strike partner.
Really?
And just did not want to pass to him for the entire half.
Wow.
Which I think is quite amusing because, Morelos is a bit of a huffy wee boy, isn't he? So you can kind of imagine him just going, nope, my ball.
People of the Totally Football Shows, you know what you could be listening to right here? You, your company, your product, out here in front of hundreds and thousands of listeners who are mostly men between the ages of 25 and 44. as well as the twice-weekly Totally Football Show, we've got a network of other football shows. There's Galazzo for the discerning cosmopolitan listener. There's the Totally Football League Show for the loyal, hardy listener. And there's the Totally Scottish Football Show for your listener who likes those big square sausages. And we've got even more podcasts on the way in 2019. Some of them not even based around football or indeed sport. To discuss advertising on one of the Totally Football shows or across the Muddy Knees Media Network, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com. We reach well over 1 million pairs of ears each week, and now you can too. Email sales@muddyneesmedia.com.
Arguably two of the biggest underachievers this season face off on Wednesday as Motherwell host Hibs. It seemed like the mood at Motherwell was really lifted by the return of Ross McCormack, but he only lasted 45 minutes in the Scottish Cup on Saturday as they were knocked out by Championship leaders Ross County. Laura, you help out on match days at Fir Park sometimes. Stephen Robinson said the Steelmen were a wee bit rusty.
Yeah, I was there Saturday, and it was evident that Motherwell had a few weeks off compared to Ross County, who are well and truly in their stride at the top of the Championship. They still look like a Premiership team, albeit maybe not the best Premiership side, but they'll be coming straight back up. I mean, see, if this had been a league game, I don't think many would have batted an eyelid. A Ross County 2-1 win over Motherwell, it's not really a big deal on paper, but I think because it was a cup game and kind of the up and down results, fans are getting a wee bit more agitated about it.
It's our season over really now, isn't it?
Well,
I think they've got bigger fish to fry in a cup game.
No, I don't think their season's over, because they're very much, they've got to secure their safety first and foremost, but then I think they're still very much in with a top six shout if they can get into their stride. What worried me though, from a Motherwell perspective, was see the last kind of 15-10 minutes and they were trailing, there were no leaders on the pitch. It was so quiet, and I don't mean it was quiet from the stands, but it was quiet on the pitch. Likes of Tom Aldred, Richard Tate, Carl McHugh, Peter Hartley, the actual captain himself, not a peep.
Are they normally like, quite vocal?
They are, so these are your kind of leaders in the team, and these are the ones you look to when you're in a kind of you're struggling. They were just non-existent.
So is there a little bit of this break? We always say sometimes when there's a break, oh, I just came at the wrong time. But there's been a lot of rumours about Stephen Robinson being linked with the Luton job. Do you think that's playing into some of the players' minds a wee bit? And do you think this deal might actually be on?
I don't think it necessarily plays into the players' minds. The fans, maybe, if they're hearing that and then they're seeing a bad result, it might encourage them to, you know, boo everyone off the pitch, get a wee bit more agitated online.
But you're saying the Motherwell players themselves are quite quiet, so are they thinking about other things? Or?
I don't think it's fair to question their professionalism in the sense of what the manager does directly affects the players. They're out there wanting to win a game of football. I don't think in that 90 minutes they're caring what the management situation is, because that's a problem for much higher up in the club than the player level. But what I found interesting was Stephen Robinson saying it was a compliment to be linked with any job. Obviously he's saying that in relation to Luton, but I was kind of thinking,
I'm not sure he's been there yet.
They're League One. Is that really a compliment to a Premiership manager? Should we really be lowering our managers'
levels? You get paid
levels?
More.
It's a money thing. It's a money thing, completely. Yeah. And obviously he's got that connection with Luton, having played there. But I just don't really think our managers in the top flight in Scotland going to a League One team is really a compliment.
Speaking about their opponents on Wednesday, it was a miserable January for Hibs. They've lost Effie Ambrose. They've lost Emerson Hydman, which, you know, we spoke to.
To be clear, they're not dead.
Yeah, just a miserable January. It's a miserable January for a lot of people, to be fair. But Martin Boyle has now been ruled out for the rest of the season, which is a big blow. But they have brought in Ryan Gold, and they have got in Scott Allen coming in the summer. So a few positives.
I mean, they've got to sort of rebuild their squad halfway through a season now.
Yeah.
It's not ideal. Ambrose was key to them keeping the ball out of defence and the way they played. So then Lennon's got to make decisions at how he sets his team up now. I think Ambrose is the biggest loss.
I think Scott Allen, there's rumour that he might even come in before the end of the January transfer
window. You think that
makes
sense? He's not played any at all for Celtic. It was the point in him being there rather than earning money. But I wonder how long it'll take Ryan Gold to adjust back to Scottish football. You'll have forgotten.
Well, it's very different. It's got to be different.
I bet his accent's changed a bit, and he's all, you know, he's a bit like, oh yeah, cool man, yeah.
Oh, he's got that European footballer hairstyle now, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's not quite got it in a bun, but maybe it'll make him flow through defenders better.
Is this the kind that you get peer pressured out of having in Scotland?
Yeah, he's going to get kicked out of him.
Yeah, it'll be a few months down the line. This happened with Mikael Lustig as well.
Cut your hair, son.
Yeah.
In comes the free kick. It's in. Scored! It's sensational!
dreamland for Talbot.
The team we've been talking about all season in the Scottish Cup is Auchinleck Talbot. Well, the lowest ranked side in the competition are still standing after defeating Championship Ayr United on Saturday. We're joined now by Talbot striker Mark Shankland. Mark, you came off the bench and 2 minutes later, your free kick set up the winner for Craig McCracken. What an impact.
It was probably quicker than I thought, the impact that I was going to make. But obviously, I think it was my second touch or something. But just happy to be involved and contribute in some way.
Were you a little disappointed not to start beforehand? Or, yeah, I think you've been coming back from injury, haven't you?
I tried not to get too disheartened, because then you end up, maybe my mood rubs off on other folks. So I knew, hopefully, if we kept it tight and stuff, that I would possibly be thrown on, and that's exactly what happened.
How did you find the game? Did you feel that Ayr were at a higher level than yourselves, or what did you make of it?
I think, obviously, they had a lot of possession, but we kept a good shape and stuff. They kind of dominated possession. They had a few kind of close chances, but I didn't think they really troubled their goalkeeper an awful lot. A few long distance shots and stuff. I think on the day you probably couldn't tell the golf in leagues as such, but I think we would do well in the low leagues in Scotland. So apart from us being a junior club and them in the Championship, I don't think there was too much between the clubs.
So your club secretary Henry Dummigan, he said it was the greatest day in the club's history. You've been there for 4 years. How did Saturday night rank in terms of celebrations you've been part of?
It was definitely up there. It's probably the best time since I've been there, and since I've been watching. Because before I played, I would try and get along to as many games as possible. But it's definitely up there, probably at number one for me before last year's Cup final.
I think it dry January was upheld.
I don't think Auchinleck participate in dry January.
Mark, you yourself, you'd been to Ayr before as a player. You made your debut for them when you were just 15 years old. So going into this one, you know, were you confident that Auchinleck were going to give Ayr a good game?
Yeah, I said to folk that I spoke to before, we knew that we've got quality in dangerous areas of the pitch that could cause Ayr problems. And we definitely did it at times in the game, but I think it was important not to go kind of gung-ho and try and go for the kill almost, because I think if we went at Ayr for the get-go, I think they would have picked us off and probably beat us if we went straight at them. So I think our game plan worked perfect. We kind of sat tight, kept our shape, and bided our time almost till later stage of the game. We knew the longer it went, the longer it was... we were still in the game, that we would always get a chance or two, and that's what we've done. But as I said, we've got players in the forward areas that can hurt people, and we've got a good defence that can keep them out. So I was very confident. Well, no, very confident. I was confident, quietly confident, that we could get something out of the game.
Next up, you're going to Tynecastle. Talbot came close against Hearts a couple of years back in the Scottish Cup. How does it feel then, you've seen that draw?
We always knew we were going to be up against it, no matter which draw we got, because the teams that were left in it, it's obviously good for the club. The Talbot fans will probably think we're going to go and beat them this time, because it was only 1-0 the last time, so no pressure on us. But I like playing against better teams, because it challenges yourself, and I think it brings the best out in myself and us as a team. So obviously it's going to be a hard task, but I say we'll just go there, play it as if it's a normal game, and just enjoy the occasion.
You'll be starting as well, since you've got the assist in the previous round, right?
I hope so. If you can maybe speak to Tommy and tell him that.
All right, I'll get my phone now.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York.
Aberdeen were in red hot form before the winter break, winning 6 of the last 8. But as they prepare to travel to Hamilton on Wednesday, the question is, has Gary Mackay-Stephen played his last game for the club? Does he want to be a part of it at New York City in the MLS? Laura, wouldn't you?
That's how the song goes.
What, move to New York City?
With Gary McKay, Stephen himself.
Even better. Sign me up. When does the plane leave?
I hope he listens to this. You're going to be terrified when he meets you Wednesday.
If you ever do a song about Gary McKay, JJ, you need to include Laura in your little notepad.
YouTube will ban it.
Hey, listen, is this likely to happen this January?
Well, it doesn't even have to be January, though, because their transfer window's open a lot longer than ours.
And Gary McKay-Steven's contract is out in the summer, so it might just...
So we've got a few weeks of this, I think, but let's look at it. He's done it in Scotland. He's been at the highest level. He's now back down to Aberdeen level. I don't think he can go higher than Aberdeen level. I can feel JJ's face.
I'm laughing.
I fear if he goes to England, he could disappear because he's so inconsistent. He can be on...
The river's there, yeah.
he's so on it one week and off it the next that you never really know what you're getting with him. So I feel like maybe England, if he went to the Championship, that could end him. He's coming to the peak of his career now. He's 28. Why not go to America? The MLS is growing. It's become one of the biggest and best leagues in the world. New York City is a fantastic place to be. Why would you not go for it and show what you can
do? When does their season end start? So it starts in March?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Gary McKay, he's been on the fringes of the Scotland squad. If he went to the MLS or if he went down south, like you said, disappear, he wouldn't get as much attention to the Scotland squad. Although I know Johnny Russell has done quite well over there as
well. That's the thing. This is kind of ties in what we were talking about earlier. When a player goes abroad, they almost get more focus on them and people actively look for how they're getting on. So it might actually encourage people to go, right, well, how's he getting on? Johnny Russell's doing such and such. How's Gary McKay-Steven doing? When the Scotland squad's come around, he's kind of been on the fringes for so long, never quite got in there and made a mark. He's still got a chance. And as I said, I think when he is having a good game, he is fantastic. And I think he's one of the best players in the league by far. So I'd really like to see him go over there and really set them on fire and do something.
Someone else who's been linked with a move, although Derek McInnes has dismissed reports and rumours, but Graham Shinney going to Wigan, JJ? He's like GMS, you know, contract up in the summer.
Yes.
I think that's likely?
I have no idea. I mean, if you're either of those players and you're getting offered a ton of money, you'd want to take it because, I mean, Shinny right now could... This is probably his chance to go up to a level that he wouldn't get to again. He's got to take it if he gets offered it. Wigan, though? I mean, come on. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of other clubs wanting. Like, I think Cardiff are floating about for a while as well.
Well, Neil Warnock's a big fan of Scottish players, isn't he?
Yeah, Captain Brexit himself, yeah.
What can Aberdeen do, though? Like, can they do anything to entice them to stay? Because McInnes has said in the past that these two players specifically, they owe the club a lot because they revitalised them.
Well, there's not enough money to pitch them. So you think if you're the Aberdeen chair, so say you're Stuart Milne, you think, right, I could offer Shinny 10, 12 grand a week, and it'd be less that he gets offered down south, and that would keep him. But that would double, maybe close to triple their highest wage earner, and they just couldn't afford to do it. And what's the point?
How much do you think Wigan would offer Graham Shinny, though? Do you think they would, 15 to 20 grand a week?
12, 15, easy, if they want, they need to. Definitely about 8.
I don't know.
It's all for the playing with Adam Rooney, about 8 grand or something.
9 grand.
9 grand, there you go. So, I mean, that's in not even a league. So what Wigan can be able to do?
I mean, I kind of just assume the answer to that is always more.
Yeah, I would say so.
Without thinking of numbers.
And GMS, I mean, you get a chance to move to New York when you're 28. Do that. Come on.
It would be fun.
I mean, it depends. Like McInnes as well, his contract's up next year. You know, will he want to stay on? What can he really achieve now that Rangers are spending all of the money and Celtic have started spending all the money? It's not much they can really get up to, is it?
I just feel like also, what's the incentive for these players to stay at Aberdeen? Because they're getting to cup finals. They're, in inverted commas, challenging at the top of the table. But they're not actually winning things. So from a player's perspective, such as these two, it would be a case of, right, well, I'll play high up in the division and I'll challenge for international duty. But they're always, both of them, kind of on the outskirts. They're not regulars. So what's going to push them over that line and make them become regulars?
They are an illustrious club, Aberdeen. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, to play European for a club. Trophies, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So they've always got history on their side. But I take your point. It's not going to be easy to always attract players to Aberdeen when they're not going to spend as much money as what other clubs might spend on them.
Maybe they could enjoy playing Scottish Cup replays against teams like Stenhouse Muir.
Exactly. 1-1, JJ.
Yes.
That's not what's supposed to happen.
No. Well, I mean, for all Aberdeen's European history, all the great nights in the 80s.
Stop deflecting.
In the 80s, there are lots and lots of results Aberdeen have against little small teams in the Scottish Cup and the Scottish League Cup that are stupid. Here's another exact example. 1-1 in Stenhouse Muir. I think McKinnis said that they're just rusty off of the back of the break. People I know who have been there said that Stenny looked fitter, more keen, more intense, more up for it. Aberdeen started Greg Stewart. Max Lowe scored on his return.
That's good news for them to get Max Lowe back.
Really good, yeah. They could have signed Ashley Cole, but they went for Lowe instead. Hamilton is their next game in the Premiership.
Bad news came out in their game against St Johnstone. They lost 2-0. Sounds like Martin Canning, the manager, sounds like his dad was abused by Hamilton fans. Yeah. And had to leave McDermott Park at half time, which
well, they're clearly jerks.
I think from what I've read is because, you know, obviously attendances aren't always high at Hamilton, but they're particularly low now. But the core group of fans that maybe go there are actually just now lost a lot of patience with
Martin
Canning.
What do they want? The Borussia Dortmund B manager to come in and install the gegenpress with players who are 40 years old. What do they expect?
Boyata's ball through. Where gets it? As a Celtic player, Timothy Weir makes it 3-0, and that's what so many of the fans came to see this evening.
Celtic saw off Airdrie O'Reilly's 3-0 at the weekend. We were on Weir watch, and Timothy delivered with a goal in his debut, because there wasn't enough hype around the son of the president already, was there?
What I thought was interesting is him as a player is promoting himself. And you're seeing this a lot more now with players on their own Instagram pages, that they are becoming their own brand. And he is one that has already started this, and he's come to Celtic. And I think this might become a thing now in Scottish football, because he's got like his own media team him.
Yeah.
And they're putting up edited videos of him out in Dubai.
I've seen this with Nani as well recently. Nani's doing it. And you've got Memphis Depay, who does his crap rap.
But yeah, there's a lot down in England as well doing it. And it's becoming very much a self-promotional tool that works. They're getting themselves seen. They're getting themselves out there to a younger audience. And now we know who he is more than just what Celtic are giving us, because he's driving it himself.
That's quite interesting.
So on one level, I think people can look at it and be quite sceptical and go, right, well, Billy Big Time, what does he thinks a lot of himself. But on the other hand, it's quite clever marketing there from him, because we all know who he is now.
Mm-hmm. Players have more power than clubs. Like, the part of the pool of Cristiano Ronaldo at Juve is he's got more Twitter followers than, I don't know, an entire planet somewhere else in the the galaxy. But that's the thing, you're right. It's changing the way people look at football and the way that contracts will be signed and the way they deal with it, because then individuals are better or more watched than the club. You'll have a million folk from, far more than a million, many, many, many millions who love Ronaldo, who are from like different countries, like say Dubai versus Qatar. They'll all love Ronaldo, but they don't support Juve.
Do you think that'll replace like the times of when, I'm trying to think of like when Celtic signed Shinsuke Nakamura and they instantly had the whole of Japan supporting Celtic?
Then that kind of signing is very clever, because it's kind of based on economics anyway, because by signing Nakamura, they get loads of people from Japan watching the games.
Yeah, I remember Celtic used to do it with Ki Sung-yung. They used to get him to do kit launches and stuff when they were on pre-season tours over in Australia, because it was outside the world where he was from, and they could promote not only the new kit, but it was him holding it, and they used to get South Koreans in Australia going crazy for him, and they would treat him like a pop star. Mm. There would be girls in the street screaming at him like David Beckham had walked past. So there's a kind of clever element to that there.
There's a cloud of dust with you chasing after GMS as well, right?
In the other direction.
Yeah. Well, Weir got off to a good start. Oliver Burke started, played as a striker for 90 minutes. Bit more of a false nine, maybe.
He's got the physique for it. He's a strong loon, that boy. He's very quick as well.
There was certainly flashes, nice little touches, nice little layoffs. But he didn't bag a goal. So
he's rubbish
wait
then.
And see.
Kill him.
I never saw the second half of the game, but I know an Airdrie fan, and he was saying that he wasn't that impressed by what he saw of Ollie Burke Maybe slightly biased there, but
it's early doors.
It is early doors.
He's not played a lot of football.
Yeah, and he was kind of being played out of position a wee bit as well, I think, which is maybe a bit harsh on his first game.
Well, when you think about, you've got Timothy Weah, you've got Oliver Burke, and now you've got this Facun Issouf Bio coming as well. Like, that's, you're smiling at me, JJ, because I just said it so slickly. And Brendan Rodgers remains unbeaten in cup competitions. So we shall see what's going to happen from Celtic. But they take on St Mirren this week.
All changes at St Mirren.
Which is a kind of return to Oran Kearney's first game in charge when he took over the St Mirren job, which ended 0-0.
That's true, and they were good in that game. But since then, they've lost Adam Hamill. Again, not dead. He's gone. In's come Greg Tansey, the mystery man from... Used to be cutting about in Inverurie an awful lot, I've been told. that's all I know of him. He hasn't been playing football. Yeah, he just floats about. He goes to a paper shop and he buys a coffee. And that's been his career for the last 6 months or so at Aberdeen. So let's see how he comes on.
As much as St Mirren's league form has not been great, they won. Came from 2-0 down to beat Alloa.
I was quite disappointed that we got, 80 minutes of sports scene on Saturday night. And they gave about 2 minutes to St Mirren coming from 2-0 down to win 3-2.
I know exactly what you mean. I also had issues with Talbot not being, first thing
with
to
10
run.
Men as well.
But yeah, you're absolutely right.
But then the argument there with Talbot is they were the televised game that day on BBC. But then it was like 20 minutes to Celtic having a routine win over Airdrie. And then we got a couple of minutes. It was blinking, you miss it. That's the game that I think I was looking out for the most.
Of course, yeah, St Mirren, they're going to have to deal with a problem on Celtic's pitch.
Yeah, so they've got a diseased pitch. I mean, I saw the headline, it was amazing. Celtic pitch diseased. But then you read the article and it just says slightly diseased. It's just kind of takes.
I mean, if I give you a disease, you still have a disease. It's not like you've got a bit of one.
It's like you're either offside or you're not.
Don't worry, mate. I'm only slightly diseased. I've only got like half of it.
You're listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven.
St Johnstone hosts Livingston at McDermott Park on Wednesday night, and we're joined now by a club legend in Perth. Second on the list of all-time appearances for the Saints, it's Liam Craig. How are you doing, Liam?
Not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well, very well. You saw off Hamilton in the Scottish Cup on Saturday. Superb result.
It was, especially after the winter break. I think you can look around at the cup fixtures and the Premier League teams that were playing, low league opposition that had been playing week in, week out, seemed to struggle a wee bit. So maybe it was a bonus for us to play another Premier League team and to get the home tie and to carry on the good form that we had at the end of last year. It was great and gave us a lot of confidence with the games coming up thick and fast now.
And you had a good start as well yourself. It was your free kick that went into the box for Jason Kerr to head home. Good start for you.
It was, I think, when you've got boys like Jason and Joe and Tony that can really attack the ball in the box, it's my job to try and put it in the right areas. And fortunately on Saturday, it was one of the times, and that's one thing the manager is dead thorough on, set pieces. We know that we're a big threat from set pieces. So, it is stuff we work on to get these players isolated in areas where we think we can hurt the opposition. And, you look over the course of the season and, it's not the first time we've scored for a set piece, so it's shown the work we are doing on the training pitch is, paying dividend.
How do you find the winter break as a player yourself? Do you think it disrupts any rhythm you maybe had before, or is it something you definitely welcome just for a physical point of view?
No, I think when you look at the games that we had in December, I know we were on a good run going into the winter break, but I think with injuries and boys playing a lot of football over the Christmas period, and just the Christmas period in itself, obviously a lot of the players have got families and, it can be a stressful time at the best of times, but when you've got to go and win games as well, it's nice just to have the break and recover and recharge the batteries and get ready for the second half of the season. And with me getting a wee bit older as well, I'll welcome any break that's coming my way just now.
How has it been this season under Tommy Wright? Because the football that you've been playing this season has been really enjoyable to watch. And it all kicked off in October when you had 5 wins in a row and 6 clean sheets. How has things changed from this season compared to others?
No, I think, first and foremost at St Johnstone, we know that we've got to, work hard for each other and go into every game given 100%. When we do that, we give ourselves an opportunity. I think what the manager's done this year is added players like Dre Wright and Matty Kennedy, obviously bringing Swanee back in from Hibs and Tony Watt up front, it gives us a, you know, a different dimension in terms of getting the ball into these players' feet, and, you know, in one-on-one situations they can really go and hurt teams. And with the pace that we're going forward at and the attacking threat we've got, you know, it's great, and it's a lot easier on the eye. But I think, you know, a lot of credit's got to go to, you know, Xander and the goals, and, you know, a back four that's really been made up of, you know, Richard Foster and Joe, Jason and Scotty Tanzer. You know, and after the 6-0 defeat of Celtic, obviously the whole squad took it to heart, but especially the defenders. Obviously that's what they get paid for, if you like, to stop the ball going in the net. And on that day, it didn't happen. But since then, since the 6-0 game, I think we've only conceded 6 goals in the last 13 games. So it shows the strength of character we're in the squad, and especially the boys that play at the back.
You mentioned Tony Watt as well. He tweeted on New Year's Eve that this was the year he fell in love with football again. He's clearly loving life at St Johnstone. What are you? How are you getting the most out of him just now in St Johnstone? Because you've changed your role a bit as well this season, right? More of a holding player.
Yeah, I think, you know, Tony just needs a manager and a squad of players to believe in him. He's, you know, his ability and, you know, his goal scoring is second to none. And I think what was great for Tony this year, he came to a club that, you know, he's going to get the opportunity to play every week. And I think the pleasing thing probably from Tony is, you know, there's not that pressure on him to score every week. He would have wanted to have scored more goals this season, but I think the work rate and what he's doing for the team at that end of the pitch and his hold-up play and bringing others into play, like the players we spoke about earlier, has been great for the team. And like I say, to have that outlet behind him, knowing that when you give him the ball, he holds on to it, he can run with it, and like I say, bring others into play, he's been excellent for us. And he would have liked to have scored more goals, but, you know, that takes nothing away from what he's done for us this season in terms of his all-round play. And the pleasing thing is, what a bounce game last week that he scored in, and then obviously he got another goal at the weekend. He scored against St Mirren just before the winter break as well. So, you know, hopefully this half of the season he can go on a goal run, and, you know, that's only going to help him and the team even more.
You've got Celtic in the next round of the cup. It doesn't get any any harder than that, but something to look forward to nonetheless. But more pressing is you've got Livingston on Wednesday. What challenges do they hold? Obviously, they lost at the weekend against Hearts in the cup.
No, I think, you know, you just look at what they've done in the league this year, just shows that it's going to be a difficult game. You know, early in the season when we played them at their place, it was a tight game and we got an early goal and, you know, maybe changed their game plan a wee bit and having to come out. But we'll go into the game on Wednesday full of confidence and wanting to continue the run we've been on. I think, you know, it will be a physical game, we're expecting that. But the important thing for us is that we can try and get the ball down and get our good players on the ball and cause them problems that way. And I think, like I spoke about earlier, it's having that defensive mindset as well, that, you know, give nothing away at that end. And we've got that threat going forward that we always feel we can score goals.
You're closing in on 400 appearances for St Johnstone now. Do you have 500 in your mind? And what position do you think you'll play by then?
Oh, I don't know. Now I'm enjoying this holding, more holding in the central area. And it's great for me when you've got players like Matty and, like I say, David Willerspoon, Swanee, Blair Alston, whoever plays in front of you, just to try and break up the play and give it to them and then just back it up. But it's great to have played so many games for St Johnstone, and especially in a period of the club that's been really successful. And, you know, I'm just delighted to play my part. And obviously, I'm out of contract at the end of the season, and, you know, I've had positive talks with the club, so I hope to go on and make a few more games anyway.
Yeah, what is your aspirations for maybe life after football? I know you've got plenty of legs in you, so that'll be fine. But I know you're now got a role with the PFA, but are you like into coaching, or you think you see yourself as a manager in the future?
No, I'm currently doing my A licence as well, so I've got the assessment for that coming up at the end of the season. So looking forward to doing that. I've started full time football, you know, a week after I turned 16 down at Ipswich. So for the past 16 years, half my life, if you like, it's all I've known. And I definitely think I've got a lot to give back in the game. So ideally, you want to go into coaching and management, you know, but any part of the game I would love to be involved in, you know, whether it's scouting, analysis, anything like that. Because like I say, I think I've got a lot to sell off of the game, hopefully on the playing side for the next couple of years, but, you know, definitely on the coaching side. And it's something that I want to do in the future. And, you know, I know it's not an easy job when you look at the stress the manager can get under at times, but since I left the school, it's all I've done, so hopefully stay in the game as long as I can.
We'll get you down here, Liam. We'll get you down here and you can talk Scottish football with us.
Oh, I think the listeners might go down if I start coming.
good news for Livingston. Ryan Hardy rejoins the club until the end of the season.
That's nice. I thought Rangers was just keeping him to spoil their fun.
It was odd that they brought him back, and it was like, oh, that's going to be a big loss.
Yeah.
But
I'm speculating. I wonder whether what they did was they took him back to give him a new contract. I think he signed something, didn't he? And then they put him on loan again, so it could have been that they needed him to be there out with a loan agreement, because that would have been difficult. Mm. I'm sure he signed a new deal.
Well, they were unlucky on Sunday. They lost 1-0 to Hearts in the Cup, which is a bit disappointing because they have been excellent this season. Interestingly, but Hearts, yeah. David Vanacek started. So this is the lad from
Czech Republic,
playing for Tbilisi. It's helped him get to the Europa League last season. And he played okay. Disappointing first half, I would say. We shall wait to see if he's actually the new Kyle Lafferty. Next assignment, a date with Dundee. Hearts have got a really good opportunity to go on another run, I think.
Imagine they started this second half of the season like they did the first.
I think it's possible, surely.
Could be a five-way
battle. I really like that. Yeah.
Just to add another club, putting more pressure in again, like coming back from...
To do inverted commas... challenge for the title.
No, Hearts would challenge for the title. Okay. I'm a wee bit worried that Kelly might slip off now, so Hearts picking up again would be really good, because it was the injuries that absolutely done them in. Was it like mid-November time, and they just kind of slid after that? And every week I was like, hopefully, you know, when they get Berra back and they get Naismith back, and I kind of feel like now it's just...
Sutter
as well. And I'm just kind of like, when are they going to turn it around? I would really like it if they managed to pick up again.
Do we know if Dundee went on a warm weather trip?
I mean, most people from Dundee should go somewhere warm at least once a year, because it is the coldest place I've ever been.
Oh, really?
Have you been to Arbroath?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah, go to Arbroath.
Have you not been north?
Yes.
Have you been to Pittodrie?
Yes.
You've been to Cali Thistle Stadium?
Is this podcast getting really weird, or am I just being asked loads of questions about where I've been?
It's a bit of both.
The whole coldest ground in Scottish football is quite a talking point, though.
I know for a fact that the coldest train station in Britain is Kilmarnock. So there you go. And I used to go there a lot.
Such a weird one.
It's a weird stat. But I used to have to wait for a train for an hour for a connecting train back down south. And it was always Baltic. So there you go. Anyway, back to football.
Back to football, yeah. To and football. Dundee. So Dundee, there's that problem with Glenn Kamara. So obviously he signed a pre-contract with Rangers. He's left out the squad against Queen of the South.
Yep.
So I wonder what's going to happen there, whether he plays. I mean, their lineup, you can't predict it at all. Another one thing they've lost, Calvin Miller went back to Celtic.
Yes, he did.
That's massive. I thought he was one of their best players.
I think it was probably because Celtic wanted to have a bit more competition now that Kieran Tierney's having injury problems this season.
That makes absolute sense.
And striker problems as well, since he's quite versatile.
So, I mean, it's tough for Dundee. Like, do they play Glenn Kamara, or do they try and take money for him?
It's tough, isn't it? Because if you're his teammate, you'd be like, oh, you're going, do you really care that much? But they must still want to win games, but Kamara wasn't starting every week anyway.
That's it from us. We'll be back on Monday as Kelly travel to Pittodrie. The Stuart saga rages on, and can Livingston knock off Rangers for the second time this season? Me, JJ and Laura are going to take on the totally bosses at FIFA now. Scotland v England. We'll let you know how we get on. Yes!
You've been listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com, and be sure to check out our other football shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audioboom, and everywhere else you get your audio on demand.